Good morning, everybody. It's been a while, and I have to say it's a blessing to be back. So many new faces, but a lot of faces I remember and recognize. I might have forgotten your names. I'm sorry. But I don't forget faces, so I'm so happy to be here, and me and my wife are happy to be here. And, you know, I was going to preach on Psalm 13, but all those songs answered that my whole sermon, so I think we're done for today. No, I'll still try. I'll try to live up to the songs we just sang, which were awesome. But I do want to just pray real quickly, and then we can get going. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the worship we had in song. And now as we come to your word, may we just worship you through your word. May we open our hearts to your word, and may you bless us all with David and what he has to say and what you had to say through David. And thank you, Lord, again, that I'm able to be here, that I'm able to bring your word to these believers of you. And Lord, I know that you will bless us today. And I just thank you and help us now as we get into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So again, really happy to be here. And we're going to be looking in Psalm 13. So it's a short psalm, thankfully. When I was deciding on a psalm, I'm like, I can't do anything like 30 or 40 verses. I could never speak it all. And then God showed me Psalm 13. I'm like, perfect, only 6 verses. Oh, I love it. So, but as we read, and I will read it again once I find it, I'll read it again, and then we'll just dive into it and see what David has to say. So it says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." Amen. So we all can see that this psalm has a lot to it, a lot of emotion packed into it. Have any of us ever felt emotions here? I would like to think that we all felt emotions here. Have you ever been in any situations where you felt strong emotions, like maybe like how David? Well, when I was in sixth grade, even as a sixth grader, we can feel emotions. I'm sure some of the kids can agree. But when I was in sixth grade, I'll just be plain, I almost, if not actually, failed sixth grade. And the way my school system worked was, if you were failing any of your classes, the teachers would send you home with, and this was, again, before like a lot of phones and emails, and my parents didn't have emails, so there was no way they could get anything. But you had to go home with a piece of paper showing your grade, and your parents had to sign off on it. Well, I was afraid. I was scared. I didn't know what to do. So I quickly learned how to copy my mom's signature. And I forged her signature on these papers and brought them back to my teacher saying, yep, my parents saw it. They're not happy with me, all that. I got away with it for a little bit. But, of course, none of my grades were improving. So one of the teachers, I believe, decided to take it into their own hands to talk to my parents in person. And needless to say, I got found out. And I was not in a good place at that point because my parents are very upset with me. But in those moments that I was struggling, I felt trapped. I felt this pressure. My whole, almost half of my school year in sixth grade, I just felt so alone and afraid and scared because I didn't know what to do. I didn't understand my classes. I did not know how to ask for help. And I was just trying to hide it until it went away. And, well, we all know that you can't hide something like that forever. And I learned very quickly. But I just, again, I felt trapped and I felt like there was nothing else I could do. But then once everything came out, once my parents finally found out, they were upset with me, yes, but they also came alongside of me, thankfully, and tried to help me to get my grades up before the end of the year. And I got some of them up, but I still failed a lot of my classes. But the point is, I was able to talk about it, get it off my chest in a sense, and feel that pressure disappear, that worry, that stress, because it finally came out in the open. No more hiding, no more deceit. It was done. And thankfully, after sixth grade, I made sure to do good in school, and I never had to deal with that situation ever again. And so the problem we face today, because of the society, and not even just society, but the world we live in, is whether we're a child in sixth grade contemplating whether to tell our parents if we're failing or not, or maybe even a person in their 60s or 80s deciding if they want to move out of their house and live with their parent or their children, or if they want to go into a nursing home. We all, no matter what walk of life we're in right now, we face decisions and we also face struggles and challenges. And it doesn't matter the age you are, this world has a way of getting to us all. And so we are all guaranteed to face hardships, to face hard times. And it seems like in our lives, not only are we struggling, but everyone. It feels like everyone has something going on, which is true, but it also feels like everyone has something going on to the point where no one can help each other. And so we have a few options when it comes to our struggles, when it comes to our challenges in life. We can either, one, hide it and try to get by, and sometimes we're really good at hiding and really good at getting by. It's not too hard to kind of cover up how we're feeling. We've had years of practice, most of us. Or we could try to share our burdens with others, be honest with ourselves and with those around us that are close to us. I prefer the option of, you know, sharing with people. I think it's the better option of the two. But just think of it. If you keep it all in, you feel that pressure. You feel trapped. But if you share with someone, and if you've ever gone through this and actually have been able to share with someone or even with God, it feels great. It feels like relieving. Because we all go through a lot of struggles. Our feelings, our emotions, they are always there, no matter what we try to do. And so have any of you ever had these strong feelings of anger or disappointment or sadness, and you had them bottled up for so long it felt like you were about to explode? And then finally, you have that chance to share, and then that feels like somebody just pokes a hole or like opens you up a little to relieve that pressure, and you feel that calm and relaxing. That's the beauty of sharing our problems, and it also does for us more for our relationships, not only with family, with friends, or even with God. It does way more with our relationships, because emotions and being able to communicate and share emotions in a healthy way help us to be stronger as people with other people than just knowing them and just interacting just on a conversational level. When we share emotions with each other, we're sharing our hearts. And when our hearts are open to people, it can either be dangerous or it can be the best thing for us. And that is the point of sharing our emotions. It's connecting with each other. We're not supposed to be alone. God never meant for people to be alone. We were never meant to live life alone. That's why God says when we're saved that he goes into our heart and lives with us. He wants us to never be alone. And well, thank God, though, that he gives us examples. So that's why I'm looking in Psalms today, in Psalm 13, because we have, I believe, a perfect example. So verses 1 and 2, because I want to break this down into three sections, verses 1 and 2, verses 3 and 4, and 5 and 6. They all reflect a different stage in King David's emotions and what he was going through. And sadly, we do not know exactly what he was going through. This psalm gives us just the very basic of what he says. It's just to the choir master, a psalm of David. And nobody knows exactly what he was going through. Some will say, oh, it was when he was at the end of his life. Others will say, oh, it was when he was running away from King Saul. But point is, nobody knows. And that's not the point of this psalm, and that's why this psalm is here. We don't need to know the context to feel and see what David was going through. So again, read with me Psalm 1, verse 1 and verse 2. And it says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Have you ever in your life thought like David? Have you ever turned to God and said, where are you? Why have you abandoned me? I, in my past, have felt like that. And if you have not yet felt like that, I almost can guarantee you that at some point in your life you will. Because think of it this way. Even Jesus, when he was on the cross, said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Even Jesus had that sense of abandonment from God. And even though he knew he wasn't abandoned, but if God cannot escape it, which is kind of crazy to think about, but if God cannot escape it, we as people will most likely not escape it. And that can be scary and that can be worrying. Because even also, King David didn't escape it. He was handpicked by God. God chose him out of the millions of Israelites, and he said, this is going to be my guy. And he even calls David a man after his own heart. So David was not just this guy that just kind of went around and did his own. He followed God. He had his mistakes, mind you. He had his mistakes, but he followed God. He listened to God, and God blessed him in more ways than we could probably ever read about or ever imagine. But again, the reality is that we will go through tough times. We will face struggles, whether it be something like illness, a loss of a family member or a friend, or our marriage falling apart, or depression, or even drug addiction or alcohol addiction. Regardless of the life we live or the family and friends we have, we will face struggles. And yet more can wear on our hearts than that, just even that. Have you ever felt like society wants you to be perfect? Have you ever felt that pressure to be perfect, to make sure that nobody sees anything but the best? Like with TikTok, with YouTube, the videos we make. We never make videos of us crying in a bathroom. I mean, some people do, but most of us won't be crying in a bathroom telling our problems on YouTube or on TikTok. No, we try to make perfect videos where we have our makeup or we have the best clothes we can get and we're in an awesome location, maybe on a mountain, maybe in a city. We try to look our best to show the world how awesome we are or how perfect our lives are. That's the world we live in, this sense of, you know, just cover it up with a lot of good things and maybe everyone will see, and maybe everyone will think better of you. And to share how we really feel, to show our side that's not so clean, not so pretty, it's scary. It's scary to have to open up to people, and it's intimidating as well. And the world says it's better just to keep it all covered and just try to look nice. So that's another pressure we face when it comes to our struggles, that struggle to even just share because of the fear of what people are going to think. And the scarier part is that some people will think badly of you. And we cannot change what people think of us. But you know what? For the most part, if you share with someone, especially close with you, they're not going to think poorly of you. They're going to come alongside of you. God brings people into our lives so they can come alongside of us and be there for us, not just as a friend to talk about sports or games or the newest fashion or anything like that, but no, someone that can really be there, someone to cry or have a shoulder to cry on, someone to go out with to eat, just to let it all out. That's what we need. And that's what David needed in this moment, as we can see. He felt abandoned by God. And he felt like he had nothing, that he was losing everything. And how did David approach God? Did he lie? Did he say, God, I'm doing all right, but could you just bless me a little more? Because things are a little rough. I'm doing okay, but I could be doing better. No, he says, in full honesty, no holding back, God, where are you? What have you done? Why aren't you here? Why, after everything I've done for you, have you just walked away from me? What would we call that today? Would we call that bold, maybe? Or maybe silly to question God? Because it is kind of scary. I mean, questioning the Lord of all the world, all the universe? He doesn't have time for us. If we question him, he's just going to just brush us off, right? Well, there's another way to call this, maybe even honest. And if you look with me now to verses 3 and 4, we'll see, for one, not only that David's attitude changes a little bit, but also just something even more important is his full, like, thoughts of God. Not God. David felt that he was abandoned, but he also knew something. So look with me to verse 3 and 4 now. It says, "Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken." He goes from accusation to question. And we can all agree this man is hurt. No one writes these things if he's just feeling a little down. He's afraid. He is scared. He thinks he is going to die. But look again at verse 3. He asks God a question. He asks him for help in something. Look again. It says, "Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death." He was unable to understand what he was going through. He was afraid that what he was going through was never going to end. And yet, he was asking God in verse 3, "Light up my eyes." He was looking for an answer to his struggles, as we all do. Why did that person have to die? Why am I going through this right now? Why are these people being mean to me? We always have questions for why we're going through it. Because the problem is, we don't know our future. We don't even know what's going to happen at the end of this day. It could start raining, which it might. Or it could just be sunny for the rest of the day. We do not know the answer. And David, in this moment, was saying, "God, I'm going through this, but open my eyes to see the bigger picture. Give me some hope, some peace in the midst of this struggling." He wanted to know why he was going through this. A very valid question for anybody. And the good thing about that is there is an answer. We just always don't. We don't always see it sometimes until the end. But also, we also know from experience that not everything lasts forever. Our struggles don't always last forever. And as Christians, we know that even if we're going through something for a lifetime, that even after death, it will end, because God says, once you're in heaven, no more pain, no more sickness, no suffering, nothing. So it will not last forever. And David was looking for that answer. And when we are going through something hard, we can't always see the end of it. I know, I can't. I've tried, but, you know, I'm still actually wondering the question of serious things in my life. Me and my wife have gone through 3 cars in the matter of, I think, a half a year. 3 cars, and I don't know why fully. And the car we have now is not doing great. But again, I don't see it. We don't see it. We wonder why. We ask the question, "God, why?" And we haven't gotten an answer yet that we can see, but there is an answer, and we know that God will use it for good. And so, like David, sometimes all we can do is ask the question, why? And that makes it difficult, because we are people that like to know things. We like to have our lives in order. When things are out of our control, it makes us feel like we have no control over anything. And then our feelings start to get in the way. Anger, frustration, depression, oh, all those things that can take our minds off of God, take our minds off of even our work or our family. It can ruin some people. And does that mean that our feelings are bad? Does that mean that we should abandon our feelings and be like robots and just not feel, or like monks up in a temple in India where they try to forget the world so that they can connect better with themselves and just have an emptiness? No, I don't think we should escape our feelings. Why? Because our feelings and our emotions do not come from our fallenness, our sin, or our wickedness. Feelings do not stem from that. They stem from God. We have feelings because God has feelings and emotions. We know this. We've seen it. Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. God has explained and said over and over again in his word, I love my people. I feel hurt by my people. They've abandoned me. God has those feelings because we, as it says in Genesis 1, were created in the image of God. God said, let us create man in our own image. So therefore, we are reflections of God. We have emotions because God has emotions. Emotions are good. Emotions are something to be cherished because not only is it, yes, we may have anger and frustration, but we also have joy and laughter and peace and hope. These emotions that can either tear us down or they can build us up in ways that we never thought possible. Emotions are a beautiful thing, and we should cherish them. But at the end of the day, though, we can't let our emotions dictate and run our lives, though. And sometimes we do. Sometimes we let depression shut us out from our family, from our friends, quit our job, go into seclusion. Or in anger, we start to hurt those around us, sometimes emotionally, sometimes physically, sadly. We let our emotions sometimes get out of hand. I've done it. I know almost all of us can probably say that at one point or another, we have let our emotions get out of hand. So though they are good and they are a blessing, we have to be careful. And David, and look with me now to verse 5 and 6, because we see a complete change. We go from accusation to questioning, and now look with me to 5 and 6. It says, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Amen. That makes me think of this morning's worship, singing in the midst of it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You give and take away. And all those verses we sang, just this idea of we will go through something, but God is still good. I love these psalms. They're called the lament psalms. They're very sad psalms, very open emotionally, very sometimes hard to read in a sense of just the sadness you see in them. But the reason why I love them is because of the honesty, because of how honest David is with God. But what's even more beautiful is his honesty and his emotions do not take away from his faith in God. David completely changes his attitude here. Why? And it should seem obvious why. He decided that his emotions were not bigger than God. He decided and realized also that God was bigger than his problems that he was going through. David, if you read his story, time and time again, was rescued by God from dangers. Goliath, many times Saul, even the Philistines, and even his own children. God rescued him so many times, he had no reason to doubt him. And in this moment, could we say that he doubted God? Yes, but because of his faith in God, he did not let his emotions cloud his understanding of God. And that's, brothers and sisters, one of the most important things we can take from this verse. If there's one thing we remember today, it's that even though our emotions are good, they can be dangerous, but God is more powerful, more stronger than our emotions, and he's bigger than our problems. And David knew that. That's why he could be honest with God. He said, I feel abandoned. I feel lost and afraid, and I'm going to die. God, help me to see what I cannot see. And in the end, he knew, no matter what happened, that God was there for him. And he praises him. I will sing to you. I have trusted in your steadfast love. Steadfast love means it will never shake. God will never stop loving us. He cannot love us anymore, and he will not love any of you less. Brothers and sisters, we are emotional beings. We are created by God that way. We cannot escape it, and we shouldn't try to. We should be emotional. If someone wrongs us, we have the right to be a little frustrated, a little angry. We aren't supposed to say, it's okay, you can wrong me again. No, we want to be honest. We want to be true to our emotions. And if someone says, I love you, we should feel love. And if someone tells a joke and you want to laugh, laugh. Just don't be embarrassed. We can't follow the world's way of thinking, which is trust in your heart and let it guide you. How many Disney movies or other movies have we heard where it says, follow your heart, let your heart guide you? Well, the issue with our heart is that it's deceitfully wicked above all things, and who can understand it? We can't even understand our own hearts. The only one who can understand our heart is God. He is the only one that sees us for who we truly are. And even in the midst of seeing us for who we truly are, he says, I want you. I want you here with me. And that's beautiful, and that's hopeful, and that's something to be desired. We all desire to be wanted, and we don't have to look far. We shouldn't have to look far. Even if we can't seem to find anybody right now, physically, God says, I am always with you, personally and in your heart. It's not something we have to look for. It's something that's there. And so David dealt with his emotions in his heart. David shared his emotions in his heart with God. And in turn, God honored him by, again, just always being there with him, letting him know. And how did David know that God was there with him? David knew because if you've ever read any of the other Psalms, a lot of times you hear, I have written your word on your heart, or I love your commandments, they are with me always. David immersed himself in God's word. He made sure to know God's heart by reading God's word. God's heart can be found in his word. All throughout his word, God says, I love the people. I love my creation. I am sad that my creation is broken, but I am there for my creation. He is not an absent God. He is a God that is fully involved in his creation, and he will not abandon it. He will not abandon us, like I said. And so if we go to God for help for our struggles, if we can't find someone, and we should go to God no matter what, but if we can't, if you're struggling to find someone to share with, to get help with, God is there, and he will listen to you, and he will help you to be able to give over your emotions to him, to lay them at his feet, to get rid of the despair, to trade your despair and frustration and pain for hope. God is a God that gives us hope. And this psalm helps us to see how to rise above our emotions, how to overcome this world, how to overcome the sufferings we face. And it's never easy, but brothers and sisters, it's worth it. I know many of us can agree. Many of us have already gone through things that have brought us to this point where we can look to God and say, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that you're with me. So may we not be afraid to be honest with ourselves, with God, and with each other, as it seems right, for we should not just share our emotions with anyone just willy-nilly. We shouldn't go out and go on YouTube and share with the world our struggles. We should be careful who we share with. We should be honest with those who we can trust. And remember that our emotions and our hearts are sacred, and they're to be treasured and to be not handed out so freely just to the world. We are to guard our hearts and guard our souls and to follow God and to trust in him. So let us pray now. Let us go to God. If you are struggling, this is the best time. No time is better than now to go to God and be just as honest as David was. God is not afraid of our honesty. He welcomes it. He welcomes it. And if you think, oh, well, God already knows, that's not the point. God already knew David was struggling, but he still wanted him to share. He still wants us to share with him, even though he may know our struggles. It isn't that. The point is he wants us to share his heart with him, to be openly wanting to share his heart. So let's go to him now and openly share our hearts with him, whether it be to praise him or to ask him a question or just to thank him and just to enjoy his presence. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. I know that many of us are going through a lot, and we will experience more down the future, or maybe not. But Lord, the point is not what our future holds, but how we take on our future. We cannot change what we cannot see, and that is a scary thing, and that is a hard thing to swallow sometimes. But Father, you say you already see the future, you're already in the future, you know what's going to happen. So why not trust in you? Why not trust in you with our future? Help us, Lord, to find the strength to just turn to you and to just give everything over to you. You want our burdens, you want our struggles. You want us to lay them at your feet so you can carry them and ease our burden. Help us to have a less stressful life, a less painful life in that sense. Lord, you don't want us to suffer. You want us to have the best. But this world says differently. This world, even if they say they're seeking peace, starts wars. And even if they say they love you, sometimes it's not true. Lord, we live in a very dangerous world, but there's also so much potential in this world for you, for your love to shine forth in this darkness that we know is here. So as your believers, as your followers, Lord, may we give all of our struggles to you so that we can have that hope and peace that allows us to be able to bring that hope and peace to others around us. You want us here for each other. That's why we're here at church. That's why we're here at church. Lord, thank you that we can gather as believers today, that we can be there for each other, whether it just be singing songs or even just sharing our struggles. Whatever it is, thank you that we are here. We can gather here and we get to know that we're not alone. We're here and we're in this together. And you have put us all here together for a reason. This is not an accident. This church is not an accident. This is your plan, your design. Thank you so much for this church. Thank you for these people. I am blessed. I know that many of them can say the same thing, to be here. And Lord, may you just go with us today. Keep us safe, but also just help us to put our trust in you. May we never forget you, and may you never abandon us. And Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for David. And may we now go in peace and with a renewed spirit and strength to take on the rest of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.